I don't go to church. I feel the most connected to God when I'm making music. To me, there's like God, there's the person I pray to. And then when I'm making music, there's like another energy.
What is your draw to creating music, and how did all of that start for you?
Music for me was just the means to discovering my own feelings. Like, it started off purely selfish, of trying to understand myself and just...
Your highest self. How does that relate to God and creativity and just being an artist?
I view my highest self as the one holding my purpose. I don't know. I just really don't subscribe to...
What's the relationship between your highest self and God?
I kind of think they're homies. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with those two things.
What about your tattoos? Because I saw you have a couple.
Yeah, I do. Let It Be with a cross, just like letting God lead. And then I just got Clé recently on my hand, which is to create in French. I think there's also like this mentality that because we're a creator, we can't have like an abundance of something. Like, it almost feels like you're supposed to struggle. I lose zero sleep at night worrying about how other people feel. I'm like, if you don't want to believe in God, or you have other gods to believe in, like, I just don't give a shit. I can't give a shit about that many things. I just know for myself.
That's such a good...
Do you have tattoos?
I do.
Oh, nice.
I have this one here.
Oh, cool.
This is a symbol of just how we are primal beings. At least we're living a primal three-dimensional existence, and we are more than that. And so this is just pointing to my hand to remind me to not give in to my primal instincts.
Oh, I like that.
And to rise above it. So there's that.
Beautiful.
Then I have these trees.
I like those.
Because
tall, skinny trees.
They help me breathe.
Okay.
And I used to escape into trees when I was a kid. I used to climb trees because I had nowhere else to go sometimes. So, and then I have a big one right here, which is, I can't like.
Sure. For the sake of the media.
And this one.
Whoa.
Which this is relevant. This is the name of my wife's first album.
Okay.
But to me, it's just a reminder to not forget the child within you.
Love it.
And it's something that we talked about in our conversation before.
Yeah.
So.
That's rad. I love that. What a massive, like, that's such a good reminder.
I like it.
Don't forget me. That's
cool. My first one.
Really?
Yeah. And Cole has a matching one. Hers is right here.
Oh.
Don't forget me. So it's kind of fun.
That's so fun. Does it mean something different for her, like in the context of the song?
Yeah. So the actual, the song on this self-titled album, it is basically just referring to her feeling like it's taking forever to get where she wants to be in her career, and just like,
can't relate.
Waiting. Yeah, I'm already where I want to be.
Do people worry about that?
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah, just like a cry for help of like just begging people to not forget about her.
Wow.
Super good song.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to
it. I'll send it to you. What about your tattoos? Because I saw you have a couple.
Yeah, I do. They're all kind of like little, to be honest, but my first one says Never Alone. It's one that me and my family... most of the members of my family all have. It's a song by Jim Brickman.
And okay.
It's a song by Lady Antebellum. It's a beautiful song.
Oh, cool.
And we all got it when my Nana passed away, who lived with us our entire life. She was like a massive part of our family.
Whoa.
That kind of became like our family song. And yeah, I've sang it at a few like funerals and stuff since, which is like so intense, but really has been a nice like pillar for our family. And then cool. I got Let It Be after that with a cross, just like letting God lead. And also in the song, obviously by the Beatles, Paul talks about saying Mother Mary comes to me. A lot of people thought that Mary in that context was like Mother Mary, like a religious nod, but his mother's name is Mary. And he was saying how much his mother in his life has helped him. Like his Mother Mary speaking words of wisdom, Let It Be. And in that era of my life, my mom, I mean, she still is, but specifically that point, she was just very, just a really necessary, stable thing for me. And so it's kind of, that's definitely a nod to her also. Just after hearing him talk about it in that way, I was like, whoa, I totally thought it was like,
yeah,
Mother Mary, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
So I got that from my mom. Yeah. And then the rest were kind of like travel. I have like birds. I wrote a song called As the Crow Flies like years and years ago, and just about how life is never in one direction. Like, you never get there as the crow flies. Like, I'm not going to go that way. It's going to be up and down and confusing and all these things. So I got three crows when I was in New York City.
Cool.
After playing a show where I kind of like finally felt like an artist. It was in 2019. Awesome. It was like the first show I played where like I had done, you know, plenty before then, but it was the moment that I was like, yeah, I can like definitely do this. Like, I have something to say. I feel unique. I feel authentic and all these things. And then I have a key from a bridge I left on a key I left on a bridge.
Yeah.
In Cork, Ireland. I was like staying at a hostel and it was just like a really pivotal summer that I spent. And then I just got clé recently on my hand, which is to create in French. I grew up speaking French. Me and my siblings in our little suburb, we all like spoke it for half the day. So I was like fluent in French. I really wanted that. And then I have my dog's ears, like just kind of random stuff. But I love tattoos.
Yeah, me too. It's been like a year since I've gotten one and I've been thinking about it a lot.
Yes.
So that's awesome. And the ones with the crows too, life is never a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
Growth isn't linear. Something that Conley said on our episode, which is cool.
Yeah.
Also, as annoying as it is, you can't ever really drive somewhere in a straight line either. Like you literally physically can't get anywhere in a straight line.
I know.
So that's
the crows are not guiding us in the right.
Yeah. We just need wings.
We do.
How easy would it be?
That is the problem.
Yeah. The lack of wings. Well, Kathleen, welcome to episode 7 or 8. I recorded in episode 7 and I am still like in the process of like messing around with it. So we'll see.
Great.
But thanks for
whatever number it turns out to be.
It'll be the right one. Yeah.
We'll be right.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm really stoked. This is really nice and like peaceful.
That's good.
Yeah.
I try to keep it like very chill in here.
Very chill in here.
It's where I do a lot of thinking and talking.
That's lovely. No, I'm happy to be here. It's good.
Yeah.
I feel like I should take my shoes off.
If you want to. I took my shoes off mid-episode on my episode with Conley. So
I'm going to do that. I'm going to adjust my
your stance. So if you guys want to see me take my shoes off, go ahead and watch episode 5. If you want to see Kathleen take her shoes off, then go and watch 5 seconds ago.
Nice.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So we met through Meg.
Meg is the best.
Episode 2, if you want to see.
Go watch it.
If you want to see how cool Meg is. and I knew that she would have like good people around her. So I was like, hey, you have anyone that would want to be on the show?
You mean good people around?
Yes. And so, it's just so cool. Like, meeting all these new people that do all these awesome things, and Nashville is the perfect place for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you are an independent artist.
I am.
And I'm curious, like, what is your draw to creating music and how did all of that start for you and what does it do for you?
Aw. So I started singing when I was really young and then it became musical theater. I did Annie and The Sound of Music and was just like such a nerd about musicals.
I did Grease.
Did you? Who were you?
Sonny Lautieri.
Yeah,
I was the one freshman amongst a bunch of juniors and seniors.
Nice.
So
cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Yeah, that was definitely the pull for me at the beginning. I really liked stepping into another character and I loved being around older people. Like I was 5 years old in Annie and like,
wow.
Yeah, just loved being on stage. We did like, I think it was like 20 shows a month. Like it was just, I just liked the working part of acting and singing and all of that. And then that kind of turned into TV and film. Me and my brother and my sister, Coleman and Ferris, we all kind of grew up in Massachusetts, and Boston was just really like so hot with TV and film at the time. It was like the early 2000s. They were making so many movies there. So we kind of just auditioned for as much as we could. Like we were really busy. My mom was really into it and like was such a cool, just like not stage mom, but not stage mom. I think Karen would say she was a stage mom. But it's really necessary to have a parent that's like, this is cool. Like, let's like see what happens. And I think I was kind of the only one to really take to it. Like my siblings enjoyed it, but it didn't become the path that they were like taking. I mean, my brother was in like a sick, like Patriots commercial and Red Sox commercial. And then he's like, okay, that was cool. I got to go to Gillette Stadium and hang out. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's all that I had to do.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Exactly.
Just a little taste of it.
So I definitely, it started with that. I loved just all the entertainment from the beginning. And then when I was 11 or 12, started just kind of doodling, journaling, writing music, writing poems, like writing out my own feelings. Yeah. And then that becomes like, I should get a guitar and see if I can like put all this together.
Mm.
And then just really music for me was just the means to discovering my own feelings and how I felt. Like it started off purely selfish of trying to understand myself and just getting out what was stuck, like just trying to process. And then I think through high school doing that and playing out more at little cafes and going to LA, like I really just wanted to be involved in entertainment in any way that I could. I think I mostly took to songwriting. And so that's when I kind of decided like, oh, people seem to like my songs. I like singing about what I'm going through. Maybe that can relate, you know? And that's been the biggest guiding light is the songwriting and my music for sure. Just helps me, and seeing it help other people is like, I mean,
yeah,
so rad. Like, you don't ever expect that that's going to happen just by being like, I feel weird, I'm going to write about it.
And then it turns out everyone
like,
feels
I feel
weird
too. And you're like, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Sorry, but good. You know, let's always talk about it.
I'm sorry you relate, but sorry, I'm glad that you relate. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
That's the common, I mean, it's the common thread that I see with artists in general is like, there's the selfish part, which is like, one part of that selfish part is I just want to be like cool, you know,
yeah.
I want to be seen.
Yeah.
The other selfish part, which is fine, is that you want to heal and you want to process things and you want to make sense of stuff and you're tired of feeling like shit. So you write music to make you feel less like shit.
Yeah.
But then there's the part where you want to help people, where you like, you get a taste of that when someone's like, hey, this song really like hit me. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
I thought I was alone.
For sure. I think it's also like, you know how you feel when it happens to you, like the artist that I was listening to and stuff. It's like, oh, wow, I can't believe someone could make me feel like they're going through the exact same thing. And so I think music doing that is like,
yeah,
it's just like such a beautiful thing. It's like so magical. And so when you see it that way, you're like, you just want more of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. I think the most visionary artists, entrepreneurs, like they have a mission to really just make the world a better place through what they're doing. And of course that benefits you along the way, mm-hmm. which is, again, it's okay. But that's like pretty much everybody that I've talked to, not only on this podcast, but just in general on my self-improvement journey has been like, I just want to help people. And like the world has so much potential. Humans have so much potential and I'm not seeing us like really live up to that.
Yeah.
And I want to help us do that. And so, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really good. It's like, definitely speaking to the self-improvement thing, like there's so many ups and downs in following the creative path, like, as you know, but I think that desire to like leave it better than you found it thing. And just like, what else would I be doing if not this? Like, I just can never answer that question. And so it continues to be the thing that you push for. But I feel really lucky that I felt like from a young age, I knew I had a connectedness with music. Wasn't totally sure what facet it was going to take me into, but yeah, the older I've gotten, I have felt really fortunate for that fact, because you kind of realize that like not everybody has that calling. And I think like purpose is like what drives human beings.
Mm.
And so having that compass has been really helpful, even in the really shitty times, you know, of just like trying to figure out the whys and how you're going to do it. And
yeah. Yeah. Art is so interesting too, because I agree. I think that like really what we want as humans is a sense of purpose. And when you don't have that, that's when you're miserable. And you're also not really like aiding in our evolution as a species at all. When you have no purpose, you basically just, and not that you're worthless or that you don't have value, but you basically just breathe air and eat food and consume media, right?
Yeah.
And like everyone has the capability to do so much more than that, and some people choose not to.
Yeah.
But the self-improvement journey, I think, is the journey of like finding that purpose and really just becoming one with, in my opinion, like your higher self. Like there's always this, it feels like there's the best version of you. That's, it feels kind of intangible, but they're always like calling you to like, hey, like you can become this and you can do these things and like have an impact in this way. Something that really complicates that is like the world that we've been born into is constructed in a way that we didn't ask for. And whether that's organized religion or, you know, like family dynamics, like family members that we're attached to by blood that we would probably not choose to be attached to them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that make it very complex. So I'm curious, like, what complexities you've been experiencing either like lately or just throughout your life that have made this self-improvement journey that much more necessary for you to be a part of.
Honestly, my first thought is that it's probably mostly myself in my way. Like, I think, you know, as far as like being supported, like I grew up with such a supportive family as far as like what I chose to do. And I would say there's probably a touch of like religious complication as far as like, I'm, as I mentioned, from Boston. So I grew up in like a big Irish and Catholic family.
Yeah.
And so I think when my parents separated, which happened when I was 18, there was a lot more questions about how you know when something is legit or not. And it definitely made me a little jaded towards just like the idea of marriage and the promise and the whole thing, because there's this big idea around it, you know? And so I think, truly the questioning everything theme, like, I just think I've been like that from a young age, but specifically in those moments, you start to be like, this doesn't make sense. And I'm quite like a tell it like it is thing. And so I just think it's like, you try to figure it out and you try to ask all the right questions. And like, I think just being comfortable with the fact that you might never have answers and you just have to like try it on and see how you feel about it. Like, cause now that I'm older in context and can love and respect both of my parents, like, I don't really, you know, there's no questions anymore. You get to a place where there's acceptance and you're like, oh, cool. I see why you did that. I see why it happened. Like all those things. But I guess aside from those moments, like the big things that have made me have to like pause and reevaluate are mainly like kind of like success driven. Like, what are my goals? What is it I actually want? And then it's like myself, like how much am I letting my work consume who I am? Where are the areas that I need to get better? Like, I think all that becomes like conflict and resolution. And you just have to kind of keep a constant like temp check on yourself and be really good at like being real and like hearing how other people feel and taking people's advice. Like, all the, I've really had to grow in all of that. Like, I can be quite a like individualist in my own world and like learning to take advice, learning not to take things personally. Like, it's the whole like four agreements thing of like, I'm still very much learning how to separate, especially your art from like yourself. Like, I think that's really necessary for me.
Yeah.
To be able to move forward and not be like attached to those feelings all the time of like failure and the things that have, the closed doors and.
Yeah. Almost like sometimes your music is a reflection of who you are now, but most of the time it's a reflection of who you used to be.
Totally. And that's so hard because when you're making it, and we've talked about this, like holding onto a project for too long and like, that's so real. Cause then you put it out and you're like, oh, I wish they knew that like that was 2 years ago or something.
Yeah.
But I also think everybody has that to a degree. Like, even something as silly as like having old Facebook pictures up of like things that are embarrassing. You're like, man, totally. I can't believe that was me. But it's like, it was. And I think I've always tried to think of it from the place of like, you know, if somebody 10 years younger than me was just starting and wanted to see my full scope of like what it took and what it's taking, I don't want to like erase that information for that person. Like, I'd rather someone go through my Spotify and be like, man, she was like not killing it in like 2017, but now it's, you know, 2024 and her music has improved, you know? And cause I think that's the whole point, is that you're getting better and you're trying and you're like in the arena, so to speak. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing. Like, no one can say that I haven't been doing it.
Totally.
You know? And like, that's whatever comes with that, the failures and like the awkward sides of like the self-improvement and going along with like following a dream. It's kind of like, yeah, but at least I'm doing the thing I said I was going to do. And that will always be more rad to me.
Yeah. It's like whenever you do make art public, it's really just a marker. It's like a checkpoint for you that you can look back on later and be like, oh, I have changed.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's so, that's what I've found, at least. That's why it's so important, not just to make art, to practice being an artist, but also put it out. Because if you have nothing to look back on, you're always going to be in this state of not feeling good enough. Like, your art, your past art is a reminder of how far you've come.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I know that we said like purpose is kind of what we're searching for on this journey. But obviously there's the more like secular part that we just want success in a way. Like, we want to have a comfortable, even lavish life. We want to have all these great experiences, and maybe we all deserve that, you know, but I'm curious what success either looks like to you now or what it used to look like, and if you're reevaluating that at all.
For sure. I'm always reevaluating it, I think. When I first started in music, I mean, I just wanted to, I wanted to be a Disney Channel star. I wanted to be Hannah Montana. Like, that was my thing. I was like, I can sing, I can act, I can dance. Like, I'm going to do this. Like, this is going to be my life. Yeah. I'm like a 90s kid. Like, I'm right in the pocket.
It's probably good you didn't.
And I think, yeah.
It's like a very scary, like, there's a lot of crazy shit.
Nickelodeon shit going down.
Yeah.
You're right. And I am so sensitive. I would have really, it's crazy the things that you want in a moment and then the things that you become really grateful that you didn't have.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I also, after high school, was like called out to do season 4 of The Voice. And the show was like the biggest at that point. Like, I think it was the most viewed season. And like at the time, I was like, this is it. Like, I'm going to make it. This was the peak. And then I become famous and everything changes. And like my friends were going off to college. I had already decided at that point that I wasn't going to college, which was, you know, already something that people were like chirping about and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so I finally
I
had.
Didn't go either.
You didn't?
So, nope.
Word. Look at us now.
Sitting here in this tiny ass room.
Questioning like, everything.
Yeah. Yes. It was a great decision for both of us, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it really was. It's like, I just couldn't imagine being in like student debt on top of like already trying to pay for my music, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's been these moments that I've been really close. And so then the success is something that you can start idealizing a little easier. But at that time I really wanted to I just wanted to be famous. Like I had a crush on all the Jonas Brothers. Like I was like, I'm going to meet them and open for their tour. And then I'm going to marry Nick Jonas. Like I had it all figured out.
It's a great plan.
It is. In theory, I was like, I got pretty close. But yeah, I think now to me, when all of that like silly stuff kind of subsides, I have always just wanted to make a living making music that I loved, that nobody kind of told me, aside from like the open to criticism pieces, but music that I loved and felt connected to that also could in turn support me and help others discover themselves and like their feelings. And if I can make however X amount of money, I don't really even know that there's like a number in my head. I've just always wanted to feel like I was like living that authentic version of my life. Like I just feel like I was put here to create and help other people feel comfortable in their own skin and like hear a song of mine and be like, oh, it's so cool that she also feels that way because I felt so different and now I feel a little less different. And I think that's just kind of, I feel personally that's my purpose. And so yeah, success is really, I just really want to have a calm life. I don't do very well in chaos. I'm quite an introvert. I definitely want to be in love and have kids and have like a family and stuff. Like that would be successful to me.
Yeah. What if you don't?
Then I will create musical children. Songs.
Love that.
Just more songs then probably. More time on my hands to make
sometimes
music.
They take 9 months to cook, but there's a lot less physical pain.
Probably. Yeah, and then you can just not have to worry about it for the rest of its life.
Oh, that's so true, right?
Yeah.
You basically just like, you tell everyone, hey, my baby's coming, the baby's coming. And then when it comes out, it's just like, you move on to the next child.
Maybe that's what I'll do. Or I'll just get a bunch of dogs.
I feel like the first one sounds a lot easier.
It does. If I could have my dog now replicated in like 10 different dogs, I would do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dogs. 10. I don't know. I feel like with Luna, I could take maybe like one more of her.
Mm.
And then I would just have like too many bruises on my shins from her tail. And that would be a disaster. But I'm glad that you love Gunner enough.
I do love Gunner. Yeah, they would definitely take over. Yeah, he's been everything to me. Just like having a dog through your 20s is just rocks. I couldn't picture going through all of this that I'm talking about. Like, and just living in Nashville, like, yeah, he's been such a constant. So yeah, I would totally have 10 Gunners.
That's also so weird, like thinking about dogs, because I know earlier we were talking about how they just wake up every day and they're ready to enjoy life. Like they are grateful for every single day. And maybe deep down they know that their lives are short.
I think they do. So they're like, let's make the most of it.
Yeah. But it's also weird, like being an ambitious person and somebody who is just trying to, like, self-improvement is great in theory, but it can become a hamster wheel if you let it. And it's weird because our dogs love us unconditionally. Like they just love you for who you are now. And it's a reminder that like you can love you for who you are now.
Yeah. All the days, not just the, yeah, that's so beautiful. That does rock. We can learn so much from just
dogs
being more like a dog.
they don't even like see, they don't see all the stuff. Like Luna doesn't see that whenever I put her in my room, when I do a podcast, because she's just a very social dog and she wouldn't let me record. Like she doesn't see that I'm coming in here recording this because I'm trying to find answers about existential stuff and like connect with people and like creating almost like soul ties and like,
yeah,
like what I'm doing is going to be seen by other people and like it's going to impact things in this way and like it's all leading to like a bigger purpose that I have. Like all she sees is like he plays with me and like he feeds me and totally. And he's cool and I love him and it's like Wow.
It's chill.
That's all we need.
So calm to live that way.
Yeah.
To trust that people are just going to like feed you and take care of you and take you on walks and you're like, dope, thanks.
No worries. Besides like ticks.
Mm.
Which we have to worry about those too. So whatever.
Like, yeah, whatever.
No worries.
We also have those worries.
Yeah. I'm like, there's been some very interesting themes. Like I had a podcast before this, Enter the Void, and I did it just as a solo project. So Question Everything is like kind of a revamped, like now I have guests and a whole new thing. But there's been a lot of themes that have run through the episodes so far.
Okay.
Maybe it's just because of the types of people that I've had on. Like I've had basically artists. I think every single person that has been on has been an artist in their own right. Something that I haven't talked about as in depth with my guests yet, but is still a theme that I've been noticing, is a sense of kind of a greater connectedness, not just like a purpose as an individual. Because like I think all of us as artists see that, and we kind of feel that pull to like create and just like you said, leave it better than you found it, right? But there's this odd thing happening, especially with us younger generations, like millennials, Gen Z. Mm-hmm. I think Gen Alpha, their brain is like fried from screens at this point, but they're jokes aside, they're very smart. My brother's Gen Alpha, like my youngest brother. Kid acts like he doesn't pay attention to anything, and he gets it.
Yeah.
So I would say like millennials on down, we are not only like waking up to a lot of the stuff that has been happening to us and like the injustices that we've experienced and just like the ways that we want to change the world, but I feel like we're all getting a sense that there are things coming together. And it's hard to like put it into words. Like I phrase it as collective consciousness, where it's like we are all cells in a brain or selves. And there are neuronal pathways like connecting all of us. And that connection is growing stronger. So I'm curious if like with some of the questioning that you did during, you said you were like 18 when your parents separated. Mm-hmm. And that kind of caused you to ask some like religious questions, social questions.
Of course.
I'm curious if, like, throughout that process, if you're also noticing this shift, and if so, like, what it feels like for you, thinking beyond yourself as an artist.
Yeah, so what do you mean as far as, like the part about the brain?
So with collective consciousness, it's actually a very old concept, but it's this idea that, like, all of us are all a part of a greater divine consciousness. And we all have the ability to kind of like tap into that.
Okay.
And communicate through it and receive from it. So on our video call this morning, you were talking about how as an artist, when you kind of connect with God in a way,
yeah,
and you're able to like create from that place, mm-hmm. like I like to imagine all of us individual people as like just a part of this greater consciousness that whenever we create, we are as close to that as we can be. Like we're literally, that's where the inspiration comes from. That's how we make something out of nothing. So I'm curious if there is a greater implication to creating art in your opinion. And if so, like what you think that even is or what it means.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I think there's really no way that when you're making music and you have that feeling and it's flowing, that you don't feel that like direct line to like your muse or God or whoever it is that you have.
Mother Mary.
In your mind. Yes, Mother Mary. Yeah, I think that's totally, yeah, that's it. And when I first started creating, I didn't feel that. I didn't look at it that way. It was such a hobby. It was just like a thing that I thought I was maybe good at, could be good at.
Yeah.
But I think the more, like anything else, the more you're like diving into it, the more you can feel it. You know when you're in your flow state.
Yeah.
You know when you're in it, when you're not. Yeah, of course. I mean, when you're locked into it, it's like magic. I mean, I really do feel that way about music. I'm always like when I'm making something or when a song is done and you're listening, you're like, I just can't believe that other people don't get to feel that feeling of like, man, I just like totally hit the perfect stride and like connected to what I feel like the song was supposed to be and my feelings and what I meant to say. And yeah, the muse is a very exciting thing. And I'm always kind of trying to connect with her. I have a very like male and female muse, I think. Like there are times when I feel more of like a manly presence. And there's a time when it's like very fragile. So I'm still trying to figure out where they sit in my brain, like who is who and do they know each other and like those kinds of things.
I've never, so don't shy away from this because I know that, yeah, that sounds crazy.
Yeah. Whatever.
Like this is the place to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sick.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
But I've never heard anybody say anything like that. And for context, like when I was deconstructing and I still am, but I'm in a different place with it now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was deconstructing my perception of God, one thing that never sat right with me was the idea that like God is a man, like, and there, that was never, you cannot question that or else he will hurt you basically.
That's like, in the Bible.
Okay. That's weird. So like if it takes a man and a woman to create a child, like
how are they of equal importance?
Yeah. So, and I, that's always bothered me. And I was coming to a place where I was starting to see God as a heavenly father and mother.
Mm.
Which again, that perspective has shifted now, but it still makes more sense than what I said before. So like, I resonate with what you just said, and I'm curious if it's that, or if it's like more abstract than that, or like what's the deal?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It is more abstract than that because I very much believe in God himself. I very much have reconstructed my idea of like what's in the Bible, what's at church, how do I feel when I'm being spiritual, what's my connectiveness with who he is. But then I think there's like another manly, it's like a different manly presence. I don't even put it in the same category.
Hmm.
Like to me, there's like God, there's the person I pray to over here.
Okay.
And then when I'm making music, I believe that that is a gift that I've been given from that person. But then there's like another energy. And then that energy kind of became like two blobs instead of one blob. Because for a while it was like my muse is like, wow, is that just like my most divine self, like my highest self? Like I was making it me. But then it was like just, it's something else. Like, I don't know. I'm still searching for what that is. All I know is sometimes when I'm making a song, I feel very fragile and like womanly.
Yeah.
And then other times I feel very, there's more of like a deeper like man, like receiving thing going on.
It's like the, just the dance of like feminine and masculine energy.
For sure. Because I think I've always like kind of, even just as a person, like held both of those things. Like I probably lean more towards a tomboy, but then there's definitely very feminine things about me too. But
yeah,
I think I enjoy that perspective of like two things. Yeah, I guess there's like three people in my mind all the time. It really is like God, and then he's like given me two.
So God the Father.
Blobs, yeah.
Okay.
God the Father.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, because I have come to the place now where I have like fully accepted that it's like I truly believe music was a gift that I was given.
Okay.
And I do think of him when I say that. I'm like, yeah, like, thank you for that. That's like, I receive that, you know? But in that same breath, I don't consider myself I don't go to church. It's not where I feel what I'm talking about. I feel the most connected to God when I'm making music. And that's like, that's such a direct line to me, or when I'm meditating, or when I'm alone in the woods, like that, those are my connective points.
Yeah.
Cause there's so much, unfortunately, so much else, especially now and being in America and politics and all these things. Like I try to shy away from involving myself too heavily in those versions of it because there's like so much that I don't identify with.
Yes, stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cause there's so much that I don't fit to. That I would rather just be cool with the fact that I know my relationship to God and I know who I believe in.
Yeah.
And that we have gone through those trials together of figuring out like what it is that it means to me. But yeah, it's hard for me to like travel and see all these beautiful places and like not think that it came from God, you know?
Yeah.
These things still really hit me like when I'm shocked by like a beautiful thing or making stuff and having that gift. It's been really necessary for me to reconstruct that.
Yeah, it's interesting too because seeing the talents that we have, because there's a difference between a skill and a talent. Like mm-hmm. a skill is something you learn and develop, and a talent seems to be something that was already there. And I'm still like exploring what that really means and if I think that that's even true, but I do feel like there are certain things that I was just born with, and I do see that as a gift. And I am grateful for that. And I think the best way to show gratitude for that isn't even saying thanks with like either through prayer or whatever. I think it's using it.
Yeah.
Like use the thing that you were given, and that is how you
100%
say thanks. But like with that, I am curious. So I'm seeing I'm gonna probe a little bit.
Go ahead.
Because you have this this perspective of God, and the thing that at least initially brought that version of God to your awareness was church, right? Like church, the Bible, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. family. Like they're the reason why you have that perspective of God the Father. That's where that idea comes from. And then you've said that you don't feel as like connected or really just at peace or whatever in that environment, and that instead when you're in nature or when you're alone and you're creating art, that is when you feel more connected with God. And during that time when you're creating, you're getting this sense, you're sensing these like masculine and feminine energies within you, or even outside of you, that are kind of like guiding you and that you're communicating
definitely
with.
Definitely guiding, that's a good
word. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you think there's any possibility that is, now that you're out of this, let's say, I'll just, for the sake of simplicity, you're out of a church building and you're in your own space and you're creating and you're tapping into this energy and you're flowing and you're creating freely. Like now that you're in that space, do you think there is any possibility that God could be more clearly seen through that, and that the things that feminine masculine energy is God's way of showing you like, hey, like this more accurately reflects my true nature. Like this is why you're able to do this.
Yes, because 100% I think that. Hmm. Yeah, I think I just like believe in a God that would adapt to me. Like if he saw me outside of the church, he'd be like, yo, that sucks that she like wasn't feeling it there. And that's also not really what I meant to happen. And so I think instead of like abandoning me, he can find ways to kind of like enter through like other doors. Like I just don't believe in this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think if you don't go to church and you're not that, like I don't subscribe to those things. And so just the belief, because that also doesn't make sense to me in the sense of other people believing in other gods.
Yeah.
And then therefore not receiving their God in the same way that we do as like Catholics or Christians or something, like going to church being such an emphasis. Like in other religions, it's like meditation and all these other things. So I just don't believe that the church is the place where you have to find it. I think it's a great segue. It's also a really damaging segue for a lot of people. Mm. And so when I think about like having kids or something one day, like that's not a beautiful in one way to grow up with religion. And I'm glad that we did, me and my family. But I think also, yeah, the first thing I'll teach my kids is like finding beauty and connectiveness outside of that. And if that becomes God and what you believe in and you feel the same way I do about how it was all made and what we've been given, then rad. But if that connectiveness takes them to a different place that makes them a good person, also cool.
Yeah, and you know? You can learn from each other.
Exactly. But to answer your question a little more like, you know, directly, like I definitely think because I tried to keep pursuing the answer of like, then what is God to me if it's not X, Y, and Z, that I do think there was a way that we could kind of like meet each other. Like I just have a version of him in my head that's so much more fragile than what's projected in like the laws and like the media and the sides now here. And
yeah, I always like draw this parallel of parenting. I'm not even a parent, which I'm sure pisses some people off that I always use this.
And you're like, let me talk about parenting.
Yeah. Well, that is true. Not that she's that sentient, but yeah. I know that there are bad parents out there that think that if you are not a parent, then you can't have an opinion on it. Right. And it's like, I'm not saying that I know what it's like to be a parent. I'm just saying that I can look at, okay, if you're going to say God the Father, you're using the word Father for a reason. So I should be able to draw a clear parallel between a father and a child and the Father and me as a child. Like
yeah,
that's
for sure.
So I use this comparison all the time. It's like, as a parent, would you meet your child where they're at? Would you communicate in the way that they communicate best? Would you teach them in the style that they learn best?
Yep.
Would you see the gifts that they have and the things that they're interested in and help them nurture that and become the best that they can be through that?
Yep.
Or would you say, no, you're going to do this exactly the way I want you to, and you are going to see me the way that I want you to see me, and if you don't, I will hurt you.
Totally.
Like, I love that you said that, because that's something that I've pretty much thought my whole life.
Yeah.
That's confused me. It's like, why do I have to be in this spot right now to see this thing the right way?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. And when I started writing music at 12, basically, I was experiencing the same thing. I was like, I feel so much more connected now in this moment doing what I'm doing than I ever have anywhere else. But I'm told that the somewhere else is the place where I should feel that.
Yeah, where you're supposed to go.
So.
Yeah, I think like it made me think of this story of that I heard from a friend of mine, which like going back, I'll tell this like quickly, but like going back to getting to audition for The Voice, that being such a pivotal moment in my career, not because it ended up being what I wanted at all. I actually never got to audition. I was there for 6 weeks. We all went through like all this crazy process of like dress rehearsals and, you know, you're hyped up. You're having social media training and all this stuff. And all the teams filled that year before I got to audition. So like we're in hair and makeup. My parents flew out from Massachusetts. We did the Carson Daly interviews, like the whole thing.
Wow.
And then the producer came out and there was like 20 of us, like leftovers pretty much of like the teams were picked. Like we thought we needed you guys. We don't. And they were kind of like, yeah, sorry. Like, you know, and Adam Levine drives off in his little Porsche and you're like, there's no way that I just had this opportunity. And then it was just like, I didn't even get to try. I feel like I didn't get to try.
Yeah. You're like robbed of that.
So robbed.
Chance.
So robbed. And just so embarrassed. And my dad's like the CEO of a company. He took a week off to come here. I'm like, it was horrible. Horrible. It really sent me into like quite a deep depression when I got home to Massachusetts. I was also like in my gap year. Like it was just really gnarly. But in saying that,
jeez,
I will never forget this video. This guy named Jeff, who was also on that season with us, I think he was a pastor or he just sang at a church. And I remember in the hotel that we were all staying at, we would have like church and people would sing and stuff. And it was a way that we all bonded. And after the show was over, I remember him making a video that spoke directly to kind of like the leftovers, or like you feel like you had an opportunity and then it was taken from you. And he related it to God and what you're saying of like, if you were a parent, and you held out your child's hand, you wouldn't dangle something in front of them, like tease them. Like if you were taking it out of your hand, it was because you're about to give them something else. You wouldn't not leave something else there.
You do that with dog training too. If your dog is chewing on the couch, you say, no chew. You take them away and then yes chew and you give them a toy. Yeah.
Exactly. And I've really...
Not the children or dogs,
but... Well.
We can act like them sometimes.
We can act like that. But yeah, I just will never forget that video. I remember being at home and being on my computer and like just really feeling so emotional at that perspective, because I was mad at God. Why would you bring me here? Why are all my friends going to college?
Oh yeah.
Why, totally. You know, it felt like a carrot. I was like, if this is what I'm supposed to do, why didn't you open this door? And so I think getting more comfortable with the idea that he didn't open that door for a reason for me that I don't know now, but I will, I'm like continuously reminded of that. And so that helps me see him in a really healthy way. It's like when I don't get something, it's not, how dare you? And look what you did to me. It's like, wow, I wonder what this lesson will be. I just have to keep moving through this. As shitty and as painful as it is right now, I know I have so much confidence that I'll look back and be able to just trust that it wasn't the thing that I was, like the door that I was supposed to walk through.
Yeah.
You know?
It's such a hard thing to deal with, because you're right. It does feel like a carrot on a stick.
Yeah. And like failure. Failure is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think as creatives, we have to get so comfortable with that, which is why some people don't do it. Being told no over and over. And
yeah,
it's very, yeah, throwing paint and things that don't stick and going through doors you're not supposed to walk through. Like all those things, like, yes, there it creates resilience, but it also causes a lot of pain.
Yeah. Entrepreneurship's the same way.
Yeah. Right?
Like you have to take so many no's.
Yeah.
And you have to keep moving towards the vision that you have. And I'm sure there are many times where it seems like this would be the next step. Like this is the thing that would take me further. And then it's taken away from me. Like, what the hell? But like, it's the thread that I've seen in situations like this is, and from my perspective, it seems like anytime I have put too much, anytime I've placed the responsibility of realizing my vision on somebody else or some other external opportunity, it gets taken from me. And not taken from me as in like I was being taunted, but more of like in a situation where I should have been trusting myself and I should have been knowing my worth and really turning inward. Instead, I was turning outward and seeking these external things to make me feel like I was enough or make me feel like I reached this benchmark of success. Like it's happened with job opportunities. It's happened with other like creative opportunities. And that's not to say that I've never won. Like I've definitely had wins, but it's felt like a huge string of losses. And that's what I find so interesting is I also feel like that is God. And I don't see it as God the Father, but same difference. Like I see it as God basically teaching me, giving me an opportunity, because I think we'll always have opportunities to learn. That's why I also don't necessarily believe in the God of the Bible, because it kind of seems like there's an end date where like, if you haven't made the right choice in this short 80 years of your infinite lifespan, then you're going to burn forever, right? Mm-hmm. And that's simplifying it. But like, I believe in infinite opportunities to do better, to choose the right thing. And so I keep seeing these opportunities presented to me where I have this option to really like trust myself and love and respect myself. And every time I choose not that, I am disappointed and let down. And so that's what I find so odd is that I think in a lot of religious contexts, there is an emphasis on like looking to the outside for meaning, right? Looking to, I need a savior because I am so horrible. I need to go to church because if I don't go to church, I'm a bad person. I need to do all these external things where like if the goal is to teach us about God and like the nature of God, like look at the patterns. There's always a pattern of whenever you, and not, I know there's the lean unto thine own understanding, like lean not unto thine own understanding. But like, that's the point is that through these experiences, when we learn to trust ourselves, you are allowing a greater understanding to, you're really allowing to like yourself.
Take shape.
Yeah. And you're learning to internalize it and really like learning through experience. So it's so weird, like being a creative that has this vision and you get to this place where you feel like you have it, this is going to be it. And every time it's not it because you're it.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep forgetting that. And so we keep being like retaught that like you're enough just where you are.
I think there's also like this mentality that because we're a creator, we can't have like an abundance of something. Like it almost feels like you're supposed to struggle because you've chosen this and that's what you're taught. Like when you tell your aunt and uncle, like, yeah, I'm not going to go to college. I'm going to be an artist. And it's like,
get a real job.
You're going to be on the street.
Broke.
Totally.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? I think you start to be like, yeah, that is crazy. And so on top of that, finding success in that almost feels like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
But there's so much else under that layer of like not being a superstar. There's like many ways to create success in the sense of like following music and using a gift. But I think we have this like scarcity mentality because that's how other people view art and being a creative. And so we start to kind of adapt that feeling. And I think I do it with God too. Like in the beginning of like, well, you know, I don't want to ask for money because I know I signed up for this thing and I'm supposed to be broke. You know what I mean? And it's like, whoa, if you believe that God makes everything or that you can ask, you know, and have these goals and have these things, and like, why wouldn't he be able to provide for you if he provides for all these other people? Because I've chosen the thing that I desire and I feel like I'm good at. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's like I had to stop believing in that.
Yeah, especially if you're leaning into the gift that God gave you.
Yeah, it's why like, would you give that to me and not let me use it?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy talk.
Yeah, and that's like, again, turning to the self. Like, you start to realize the ability to like either live my life the way I want to or not, it all rests on me. Like, you know, it's good to put your intention out, right? It's good to like say the things that you want, the things that you need, the things that you're struggling with, right? And for some people, they do that through prayer, which makes sense. Like, that's great. But at the end of the day, like if you're not satisfied with your life, that's your fault. And if you are satisfied with your life, that's also your fault because it's a choice that you make. Like God could literally physically plant everything that you've ever wanted in front of you. And if you haven't like worked through that within yourself, you're still going to be miserable.
Yeah.
So it's like this journey of being an artist is all about turning inward.
Yeah.
And when you do that, I think that you see like reflections of God in the things that you do. And the things that you experience, the things that you create.
Yeah. And just like being a person, really. Like what you just said to me is like also just a human thing.
Yeah.
If you're not able to look at like goodness and like be able to adapt and change and like all these things that I find really necessary for self-improvement, then I think you're, yeah, you're like harnessing this really, like you're not reaching your highest power and your highest self if you're not able to shift and change and feel and like trust a little bit and be able to like move.
Yeah.
You know, like move.
That is where like faith comes in. Like faith is a very loaded word in a lot of contexts, at least for me and my experiences. But I think the faith that like, okay, you said earlier, you can ask all these questions, but you also have to come to a place where you accept that you won't know all the answers. That's the fun of it, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
If you play a video game that is too easy, it's boring.
Yeah.
Like this is the fun of it, is that we don't know everything. The unknown.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, it's so weird that some people act like that, at least they've convinced themselves that they have all the answers and that somehow that makes them happier than everybody. It's like, you're actually the most miserable person I know.
Yeah, that sounds
horrible.
Because
you're clinging on to thinking you know all the answers. So you're right. Like if you can learn to just have a bit of faith in the sense of like, I'm seeking truth, both just generally, but also like within myself.
Yeah, like faith in yourself is huge.
Yeah, I'm on this path and I don't know all the answers and I need to be flexible. We were talking about how hard that is to flex. We always want to have our schedule like perfect.
Oh yeah. No, you got to be able to be like a little like water if you're going to do this, you know?
Yeah.
And have that space to, yeah, mess up and like be like, whoa, I'm not going to do that way the next time and problem solve. And like, it's like you're kind of always in that middle ground, which, yeah, I definitely have conversations with like my sister and stuff who's a lot more like type A than I am. And she's like, I just have no idea how you like don't always know where like your money's coming from. And I'm like, totally get that.
Yeah. Like, you're like, yeah, I don't either.
I'm like, I just, not sure. But no, I think it just so comes real. Back to like, would you be doing anything else? And then when that answer is no, you're like, okay, so then
you have to accept what are we going to do? Comes with it.
Yeah. What are we going to do? If that's true, then it just doesn't replace the days when you're like writing a song and it's just like all comes together and you're like, oh yeah, now I feel good for a few days, you know?
Mm. Both of us throughout this, we brought up the idea of like a higher self, and it's, you don't typically hear like religious people say that. Because to them, that's just like, no, I'm just me, and then there's God. But like, you've mentioned higher self, so I'm curious, like, because I think that the theme of God and like creation has run through this whole conversation. Like, what does that mean to you, your highest self? And like, how does that relate to God and creativity and just being an artist?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I view my highest self as like, as the one holding my purpose. Like I think I can tell when I'm in line with that version of me.
Like it's the like version of you that's embodying that for
yeah,
me?
I think okay. So. I think that's how I feel it. Like I'm either rising up to that thing or I'm not. So I view that as like kind of like a version of like a finish line of myself. So it's kind of selfish. Like when I think of my highest, like the divine is almost like if you follow your heart and your gut and your meaning, you end up arriving at like I know when I'm in touch with that version of myself.
Yeah.
But I don't think, because I view it more in line with like me, that's where the God part comes in, because I do believe going back to like the gift and everybody having, you know, different gifts and different qualities about them that make them unique and beautiful and like interesting and all these things. Mm. I do believe that that's given to me from that. From God. And so, yeah, I guess it's this constant give and take. But it is interesting, like you're right, people who believe in God don't always talk about the highest power and vibrations and all these things. But like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just really don't subscribe to the mentality of like, if you believe in God, you can't also feel connected to astrology or to the Enneagram tests and to all these things. Like, it's a tool. It's a tool in a toolbox to help you become a better person. It's the same way I view God. I'm like, if you don't want to believe in God or you have other gods to believe in, like I just don't give a shit. I can't give a shit about that many things. I just know for myself.
That's such a good, I can't give a shit about that much stuff.
Give a shit like, about that much.
Yeah. No, that's great.
I lose zero sleep at night worrying about how other people feel. I just know for myself, like I believe in God. I believe in a higher power and I know when I'm connected to that. And I think I mostly view that as the best version of me.
Do you think that you will ever be that? Or do you think it's always
no, it's always moving like teasing. With you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always. Okay. Oh, yeah, so it's always ahead of me.
Your higher self is the carrot.
It's like
on
a
the
bastard.
Stick.
Yeah. Kinda. I think that is how I view it, I guess, huh. Now that I'm saying that out loud.
What's the relationship between your highest self and God? Let's say your highest self is like you maxing your potential, which okay. I also don't necessarily believe in because okay. I believe in eternal, like eternal growth and eternal progression. Mm-hmm. I believe that that's a choice you can make forever.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I so like if your highest self is just like basically the best version of you as far as you can see.
Yeah.
Let's say you've completely transcended. Like, let's say after you die, your soul continues on. You continue learning and growing, whether that's through a new mortal experience or whether it's like you learned everything you could from a mortal experience, so it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. What's the relationship between your highest self and God?
I guess I kind of think they're homies. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with those two things. I think they're like aware of each other and they kind of like stay in their own lane a little bit. They don't get into like political conversations probably. But other than that,
that would be kind of lame yeah, to like lame. Go through all that and then still be like, is it the right or the left? That would suck so
bad. Like you guys blow. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's so funny because like as I'm saying this, I'm like, I'm also like in the back of my mind, like not insecure, but like I'm sure it is a weird thing to have both of those live in my head. But
it is. I mean, the traditional like beliefs that like the perception of God comes from, they're screaming right now.
Totally. They're like so angry.
Stop it.
What is she talking about?
But like, at least for me, when I talk about this stuff, I don't get the feeling that I'm about to get struck by lightning. Yeah, I get the feeling that God, divine consciousness, all knowing or supreme creative ability is like cheering me on, like, go on.
Totally.
Dig in.
Yeah, say it. Yeah. Let it out. Like, I guess I always feel like, what's the alternative? Like, the alternative would be me only believing in, like, I just couldn't picture not having God there. I think that would, like, bum him out way more. So I've tried to keep him at the place where I can understand and have my own relationship.
Yeah. Well, and also, how could you, like, get to a point where you've transcended your current state and, like, God has been there kind of, like, helping you through that?
Yeah.
And, like, almost coaching you, right?
Yeah.
And then get to that place and just not like continue a relationship with them.
Yeah.
Like, the homies thing is great because as friends, right, you do that for your friends. Sometimes your friends are going through a hard time and like, because you're not the one in it, you can see it a little clearer and you can kind of give them a different perspective and you can give them some advice. You can present some opportunities for them to choose different things.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, so you're saying that you don't think that it would be you as in like you are forever the subject to the king or you are forever like the child, like you will have grown up at this point and like you and God will both be adults and like have these incredible creative abilities and this broader perspective and like you'll be on a similar level almost
maybe as God. That's gonna be the clip you take. Kathleen Regan thinks she's on the same level as God.
I wouldn't do that too much out of context, but it also like it gets people to listen. And then if they really want to make a judgment, listen to the whole freaking podcast.
Totally. I know people don't do that, do they? No. I don't know. I haven't really thought past like me not being here anymore, like the immortal part. I mainly just feel the comfortability of like the highest self and the God because I know when I use them, I know when I can call to them and like when I feel connected to each part. But it is complicated. You know, like it is complicated. I certainly have friends who like, yeah, would hear this and not really get it or like, that doesn't make any sense or whatever. But I think I just go back to the
none
like,
of this makes sense. Yeah. Come on, stop acting like any of this makes sense. Like,
it's true. That's so true. Yeah, I just think that they're together. Like I always picture getting to heaven and being like, first of all, just like, I just want to talk about everything with God of like what didn't make sense and like what he expected of me and what happened. And
yeah.
Was it fine that I called you and my highest self homies? Like that, maybe he wouldn't be into that, but I think he would be. Cause I think it's better than me like not being a part of him at all. And that's just how I view it. Like,
yeah.
I just do think that if he created everything, he created me exactly as I am. And the version of me that wants a muse and all these things outside of him is cool. Like,
yeah. And if not, that gives the same energy as when a parent is like, I'm not your friend. I'm your parent.
It's yeah, like, no.
Whoa.
My
like,
mom is my best friend.
That's how it should be. Yeah. Like, it doesn't mean that, like, yeah, maybe it's a slightly different dynamic. And maybe that's just because of our mortality and just because of social norms, right? Like, if you strip all that away, maybe it would just be so much simpler. It's like you and God are two beings with value, and you are creative beings, and God has just maybe progressed further than you.
Totally.
And maybe, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just, I always think about that. It's like, Cole and I talk about that when we talk about having kids. Is like, yeah, like, there's going to be at least an 18-year period with our children where it's like, you are my responsibility, and I'm here to help, like, guide you. I'm here to coach you. I'm here to help you learn.
Yeah.
But I'm also your friend. Like, I am your friend. Yes, I'm your parent. I'm also your friend. And, like, especially when your child grows up and they unlock their creative ability to literally have children and create their own life and create their own reality – like, yes, they're your child, but at that point, you're way more of equals than of equal like status and like position than you ever were before. You've always been of equal value, though.
Yeah, I think that is a big, that is true, because when I think of my parents, I think of them that way. They were leaders, but they were always my friend. Like, I have a very healthy relationship with my parents. Therefore, I think it helps me have a healthy relationship with God.
I can see that.
You know, and so I feel for people who don't feel that way. Like, I totally understand how this is simply my perspective. But I think with God, I am able to look at him as, like, there are times when I'm confused, just like my parents, or time when you lean into, like, that wasn't cool or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think for the most part that the friendship being there helps the relationship remain.
Yeah.
Because it's honest and it's true and it's authentic and
it's whole. As
yeah,
as
I don't fear him. I hate that thing doesn't
fear me.
It's not.
That sounds like a projection.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so interesting, and it really goes back to growing up in the Catholic faith of all of that, the fear-based power dynamics. Like, that is where people get turned off, and rightfully so. That's a really dangerous playground.
Yeah, and it's dangerous, and it has caused
damage. And it's been dangerous. Yeah, it's I think that pulls me to the place where I would rather keep the higher self and the God and the spirituality at a place where I can understand it and relate to it, and it's all friends, and it all feels like it's just surrounding.
Yeah, it's like no one person in your life can, like, fill all the roles, right?
Of course,
like,
not. Yeah.
You can even have a best friend, but, like, they're going to have certain tendencies and they're going to see life through a certain way that's going to cause them to only, like, have a limited amount of, like, functionality in your life. Not that relationships are all about function, but, like, you need different friends to kind of, like, fill different roles, totally, and different positions. But, like, if God is everything, if that's even a thing, and if God is complete, if God is divine and all-encompassing, it would make sense that your relationship with God
would also be
well-rounded. It would be full. It would be the position of a parent, a coach, a friend, a business partner, shit, you know, a co-writer.
Yeah.
Like, so I appreciate you, like, coming on and talking about all of this, because this is, I've gotten so many different perspectives, not just on the podcast, but throughout the other conversations that I've had of people with their relationship with God. And the thing that I've noticed is people project their view of God is a reflection of how they view themselves.
Mm.
And
that's cool.
Most
that's
people have an unhealthy perspective of God. And that reflects, if they see themselves as somebody who is incapable, somebody who is just they're naturally evil.
Mm-hmm.
If they see themselves, not deserving, whatever, they're going to believe in a God that also, like, enforces that
belief. Yes, and I could 100% see how that's the case.
Yeah. And I unfortunately, I think that, like, when you grow up in a religion, you kind of get, like, placed into that.
Yeah.
And that's why it's up to you to decide, do I believe this or do I not? And so I appreciate your perspective, because although there are some differences, I do see that, like, you're not, like, you said a fragile view of God in the sense of like the image that you think of is like fragile because you understand that things are like fluid. Like it's not that way because you're a fence sitter, which is the title of my first song that I ever released. Like you're not a fence sitter. You're not somebody that's trying to like be a crazy rock star, live a sinful life, but also like try and be good in the eyes of God. Right. It's just simply that like you have a healthy relationship with creativity and with the source of that creativity.
Yeah, the source is such a good umbrella on both of like those things I've touched on of like the higher self and God. Like it is a source to pull from. And I think we have many sources and it's like up to us to decide the weight that they hold in our life and like how they feel and when they feel bad and when to disconnect from them. And
yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate you letting me talk about it. It's definitely like saying it out loud is like really healthy because it's something that's always in my mind and that I'm aware of when I'm like creating or just being a human. Like, yeah, I think I do believe in both these things. And but I am always wondering and like I could feel differently in time, you know, and I think that part is really, that's like what's cool about growing up that like I probably wouldn't have spoken like this even like 5 years ago.
For me, it would have been a year ago.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Things change.
Yeah, they do. And they're supposed to.
That's what talking about stuff does.
Yeah.
Is you like your beliefs become like audible.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you hear it back, you're like, oh shit. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of problematic. Or you hear it and you're like, that resonates with me.
Yeah.
Like totally.
Yeah.
I personally feel like I just have this, anytime I like touch on something that is really like profound and true, anytime I discover new truth, I get this very light, like energetic buzzing in my head. Mm. It feels just very like almost out of body. And I'm feeling that right now. So I feel like we've really dug into something that is like good, not only for us, but for other people to hear.
Yeah, so that's so rad. I'm really happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Buzzing. I want a buzzing when something's going like that.
You have the caffeine buzz yet? Yeah, you're like, yeah, I got the jitters.
That's it. It's
well, on that, I will clink my empty glass with yours. Thank you for coming on the show.
Of course. And, anytime.
Question everything.
It's my plan.
I'll drink my last little like
go,
drop
it. Chug
of water.
Chug it.
Chugged.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
That was fun.